But I know, like, there's another couple here that really has the same passion we do. And I've asked today for Frank and Marlene to share with you some of their wisdoms. I remember when Frank, like, I think Frank mentioned last week about when his dad talked to him and how, you know, he was missing out on Jesus, and Frank gave his heart to the Lord. And I remember just, we met Frank and Marlene just after that, I think. And I've watched them as they've grown. I've watched them as they've raised their kids. I've watched them as they've done a lot of things, you know. And one thing, if you know Frank and Marlene, they're as real as they get. You can't find more real people than Frank and Marlene. They let their life, you know, they let you see their life, and they let you into their life. They're very hospitable and very kind, and they're great people. So this morning I've asked them to come and share with you. They've done a small group called Love and Respect for the last couple sessions, a small group. And I really feel like it's a passion that burns in their heart. Marriage is a really, really important thing in God's eyes. And so we really want to talk and really strengthen families and marriage. And that's one of the things. So I've asked Frank and Marlene to come up and share this morning. If they get done in time, I might fill in a little bit behind them. If they don't, we're going to enjoy what they have to say. I really want you to open your hearts. I think the concept and the idea that they're talking about in this message today, in this time of sharing, is a really key concept for marriage. So if you're here today and you're married and your marriage is struggling, like, take notes. And don't think, well, I wish somebody else was here to hear the message, right? And if you aren't married yet, then take notes, because you're going to need to know everything you're going to hear today. And if you know people and you're not married and you know people that are, and you could help them. So take note. This is a powerful, powerful message they have to share. But I just want to welcome Frank and Marlene to come to the front. I just want to give them a big hand. They love and they serve the church, and I love them.
That's different. I want to open up in prayer as we are about to present this to you. Thank you, Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that we can be here to present this in a loving way, Lord, and that there is a lot to be gleaned from this, and that we can apply it to our lives. And, we give you the praise and glory and honor for all of this. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Okay, go ahead. Yes, good morning. Good morning. Yes, the love and respect. You know, marriage is, we feel very, very strongly about this. Marriage is so important. It's a big step in our lives. And marriage deserves our best effort. And we need to put that first. So, we do this marriage, these marriage sessions, because we want to make, well, I'm not saying anybody has a bad marriage, but we want to make good marriages better. And that's the whole purpose of this. And it's also, we've learned so many things over the years. We've been married for 46 years. And so, but there's times you think we were newlyweds because we don't get it. So we make mistakes. One thing we have learned on these videos that we have that we use from this Dr. Emerson Eggerich, he is so awesome. And it's not a new concept, but it's a concept that is for men and women. It's always been about, and we've gone to many marriage sessions and marriage seminars, and it's always been on love, love, love. Well, the women, the men are to love the wives, but women are to respect their husbands, and that's missed a lot. And this is something that they are teaching now, and they're saying, even with Focus on the Family, all these different programs, they're saying we missed it. We missed that. Even when we were there counseling, they was always love, love, love. Well, now we realize that what the Bible says. And I will get to that in a minute. But so we have not had, we've had our rough area, many rough areas, ups and downs, but we've always stuck it out. We've, there were times I said to Frank, there's the door, and he said, there's the door, and I'm like, well, I'm not going. He's like, I'm not going. So we're in it for keeps, you know, but there's times where you just sort of shake your head and think, what are we doing? But it's good, and we love each other, and we know we're meant to be together. So is there anything you'd like to?
Yes, we talked about couples, but this is also for people that are dating, singles, that are sometime down the road they want to get married. This is all good, too, because it gives you a format or something that you kind of think the other person would be wired the same as you, but surprised they're not, you know. And he points this out in such a way that, I look at it like, why doesn't she get it? You know, like, so with this book, it has the couples acronym. And I look at it and going, couple. This is for women that what they kind of gel to, you know. Couples acronym, COUPLE. The C for closeness. Women like this closeness. Most women do. The O for openness. And these guys might think, information, you know, like a lot of guys are like that, so women like that. The U for understanding. Do you want to be understood? Very much want to be understood. The P, they're peacemakers. Guys, they'd like to go to war, they'll just duke it out, you know. And the L for, what is it? Loyalty. They're loyal people. They're loyal people. They're in there for the long run. Loyalty. E for esteem. They want to be esteemed. So this is all pointed out in the love and respect. And Dr. Ekterich really points this out. And with the love and respect, it kind of like, this is good stuff. It really is.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. It's powerful. Why do people marry? Because they think, well, not that they think they are, but they're in love. They're soulmates. They feel that they found their soulmate, and they're going to be there together forever. Well, you know, when you get married, marriage is a covenant relationship. It's a vow, and it's not a contract. Contracts can be broken. It's not a contract. It's a permanent commitment to each other before God. So, we know that, and we're in for the long haul. But what happens? Life happens. We have disappointments, failures, disagreements, kids. Any of these can undermine the strongest relationships. Now, Frank and I were having many, you know, issues and things, and it got to be to the point it was ridiculous how many little spats. Well, once sometimes when I get going, I spit when I'm talking. So we'd have these spats, and it was almost like, you know, pick your battles. You know, they're just petty little things, and when you make a mountain out of a molehill, you know. But the thing is that we have to learn not to be doing that. But so here in Ephesians 5, so one day we were having some crazy, I will tell you, I didn't respect him. I didn't. And I felt like I could do life without Frank in a sense, and, you know, who needs him type thing. But I definitely needed him. And so, but in Ephesians, and then when I, you know, this is in the Bible, I read this, but it didn't stick with me. But in Ephesians 5, 28 to 33, and this is out of the New International Version. Where are we here? In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be reunited to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. But then there's this. This is the really powerful one. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Nowhere does that say, maybe you should respect your husband. And also, oh, he doesn't deserve my respect. Why should I give it to him? Well, that's not what it says here. God's telling us that we, for the women, that we must respect our husbands. And it definitely helps. It changes things, too. Changes our attitudes. But also in Ephesians 5:33, that's God's last word to us on this subject. But God's last word on marriage won't help us if it isn't heard. And obviously I hadn't heard it or overlooked it or didn't pay attention to it. And as I say, and then when I realized what I was doing, that I wasn't respecting him, that it hit me so hard. I remember calling, she's not in here right now, but I remember calling Lorraine Hildebrandt and I remember talking with her, and I thought, oh, wow, like, what am I doing? What have I done? And I remember I cried and cried and cried for a long time, realizing what I had been doing. And we also have three sons. So you have to realize that what you're showing your sons is also affecting them also. So that was a big part in our life.
Marlene puts a lot of work into this, as you can see. She was up to 3 o'clock last night trying to put it all together and just kind of sitting. I was going to bed around 10 o'clock. I'm out of here. But that's the way she's wired. And I can't, as much as I'd like to see her get a good sleep on this, you know, like it'll come, you know, but I'm used to it now. It's just she does what she does, and it's got to be right. And it's not that she believes, we believe in this, because there's a lot of stuff out there on marriage relationship, but we find that this is the closest to home. It really is, and it deals with equally a male and a female. And that's the whole purpose on this. We're doing life together.
Definitely, definitely. It's good, huh? The thing is, like I said, we argued a lot and we disagreed a lot. And I know that there were times where I think that Frank thought, you know, wow, she's a pain in the rear end. But you know, many couples, and especially nowadays, I find that they give up. They give up way too early. It's they feel it's too hard, or their spouse doesn't measure up to whatever they thought that person was going to be, and they give up. You don't give up. And one thing, and now this is a scripture that was in this whole program, and I just think it's an amazing, amazing scripture. It's 1 Corinthians 7, verse 28. And this is powerful because it can make us feel like, before we read this, it makes you feel like our marriage is done. Our marriage is not worth it. We have a horrible marriage. We're fighting all the time. We're disagreeing. And definitely, I think to myself, God, why did you put me with him? He's so different than me. You know, we think differently. Well, that's normal. You know, that is, yeah, that's. And so in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 28, Paul writes, and be prepared for these. Those who marry, they have not sinned, but they will face many troubles in this life. And I want to spare you. This is what, you know, this is what Paul is saying. So this is why when I read this, it is so powerful to me, because I want to spare all of you. All the heartaches and all the arguments and all the disagreements that you look at and you think, it wasn't even worth it. And then you find out, you talk to each other, you say, what was that fight over? And you go, I don't remember. I don't even know what it was. But it led to this and this and this. And then, of course, I also have a memory that... And I am thankful, actually, that Frank doesn't remember a lot of things. So when I dredge all this up, he's looking at me like, what? And so then I'm thinking, oh, good, I'm so glad he can't remember any of the things I did or I said. But I'm learning to let that all go. I don't need to keep record of what he said back in when we got married in 1973. I could tell him all kinds of things what was said then. But I realize that's not important, you know. So when Paul says, like, I want to spare you this, I want to spare you this too. If we can help in any way, shape, form, it's important. It really is happening, you know. So should couples think they have a bad marriage because they sometimes have trouble and things get a bit crazy? No. It happens. And some people won't admit that they have problems. They'll go on through their marriage and say, hey, everything's hunky-dory with us. And I think, oh, you're so full of it, isn't funny, you know? So I just feel that that's okay if people don't want to share, people want to hold it all in, whatever. But you need to keep the communication open with each other. I do anyways. Communication is always there. But in other words, all married couples take a spin on the crazy cycle. And this is one thing that he does talk about in his videos, is that there's three levels of, there's the crazy cycle, there's the energizing cycle, and there's the reward cycle. And they all have important issues in them, important things that we need to deal with. So marriage is hard work with compromise, patience, and willingness to stay together and grow. Love and respect is not conditional.
Yes. Now, well, we've got a 15-minute presentation here, and so we'll get into that and see what Dr. Eckrich has to say on this. Okay. Thank you.
Serve you in that regard and make that our goal and our hope for you, that this will not be a time that you look back and say, man, I could have been doing something better. That is our commitment to you. Thank you for honoring us by coming. We are tickled to be here. We've been looking forward to this event. And every one of you, honor us. Sarah and I are so grateful to you. And we hope that you'll laugh at all of my jokes. Male and female communication. It is a fun topic. It is a fun topic. She says, I have nothing to wear. What she means is she has nothing new. He says, I have nothing to wear. What he means is he has nothing clean. Now, how is it that you can say the same exact words? I have nothing to wear. I have nothing to wear. But you mean something different. That's amazing. How can that be? And it's based on male and female differences. And that's an innocent enough difference. But imagine she fixes an evening meal and afterwards she says, that's the worst meal I've ever made. He goes, no, it's not, honey. Now, where's that going to go? What are you saying? Are you saying I've made thousands of worse meals than that? Okay, mama's boy. Just go move in with your mother for a couple of weeks and let her feed your fat face. But what if he was full of goodwill? What if he was full of goodwill? What if he meant by what he said is, no, you haven't. You never made a bad meal. You see how we get into these tensions and conflicts and troubles, irritations, fights, arguments? Bam, it can happen just that quick. What did you mean by what you said? Then again, maybe he had been making some snide remarks over the last several weeks about her cooking. So when she said, that's the worst meal I've ever made. No, it's not, honey. Same words. but different tone. The first year of our life, as infants, we interpreted the whole world through the nonverbal. We watched our parents' facial expressions. We listened for tones. We didn't understand the meaning of the words. It's been suggested, even as adults, 80-90% of our communication is nonverbal. We're listening to what did you really mean by what you just said. I know what you meant. And so you can see how we get into these conflicts because we're trying to read what the other means. Why is that? Why does this kind of thing happen? Well, I believe in part it's because God made us this way. He made us male and female. I love the statement of Jesus. He said, "Have you not read? He who made them from the beginning made them male and female." Have you not read? He who made them from the beginning made them male and female. I liken it to the fact that God made women to look at the world through pink sunglasses. And it colors what she sees. In fact, I don't know if you know it, but she has pink hearing aids. And it affects what she hears. And in fact, she speaks through a pink megaphone. Men, on the other hand, wear blue sunglasses and have blue hearing aids and speak through a blue megaphone. So, for instance, if that woman is among 10 women and she says, "I have nothing to wear," she speaks that through her pink megaphone. All 10 women who are listening through their pink hearing aids knows exactly what she meant by what she said. "Oh, honey, I don't have anything new either, but we're going shopping in a few minutes. You want to come down with us?" If that guy is speaking to 10 guys through his blue megaphone and they're listening through their blue hearing aids, and "I don't have anything to wear," they'll all say, "She ain't doing your laundry either." Interesting dynamic. Pink and blue. Not wrong, just different. And as I looked at Scripture, I realized there was a powerful verse, Ephesians 5:33. That is the summary statement to the most significant treatise in all of the Bible on marriage. Almost everybody who turns to the Bible for wisdom and insight on marriage will always land at some point on Ephesians 5 because it is kind of the pinnacle. It's the greatest treatise on marriage. And Ephesians 5 concludes with a powerful statement. It is as though this is the summary statement. It is as though this is the last word to the church from God. You know, if my grandfather was dying and he was on his deathbed and he said, "Emerson, come, son, I have something to share with you. Come close. You and I know that whatever my grandpa said, it's going to be the most important thing he's ever said to me. It's been said that a person's last words are the most important words that they will speak. It's as though God is saying to the church, "Come close. Come close. I want to speak to you my last words on marriage. Listen to me, children. Listen to me, son. Listen to me, daughter. If you listen to me, everything's going to be okay." What I saw there is a pink and blue issue, a male and female issue. Paul, who penned it, writes this: "Husbands must love their wives, and wives must respect their husbands." And I thought, that's an interesting distinction. And I concluded that a wife needs to feel love for who she is like she needs air to breathe. In fact, she has a love tank, so to speak, kind of an oxygen tank. And there's a hose connected to this love tank. And she needs to breathe in that love like she breathes in air. She just needs to feel loved. And when she is loved, she feels fulfilled. She's a happy camper. But if he comes in as a big elephant looking for some place to eat his peanuts and stands on her air hose, she's not going to go, "Oh, okay, I'm going to suffocate and die." No, she's going to, "Get off my air hose, you beast, get off." And if there's a baseball bat there, she's going to club that elephant right upside the head. And all he's doing is looking for some place to eat his peanuts. And all he knows now is he's bleeding. "Get off my air hose, you beast." We'll come back to that. I will tell you that when her air hose is stepped on, she negatively reacts. And she's speaking through her pink megaphone, intending for blue hearing aid people to understand. Well, that second part of that verse says the wife must respect her husband. Apparently, he needs to feel respected for who he is apart from his performance, in the same way that she needs to be loved for who she is apart from her performance. What I discovered is that no husband feels fond feelings of love and affection in his heart toward a wife he thinks despises who he is. It's not within his nature, any more than a woman responds sexually to a man who's harsh and angry with her week after week. It's not within her nature. Her pink nature doesn't respond. She's not designed by God to respond to that. It's not within the male nature to respond to someone he thinks despises who he is. And what I've discovered is these concepts not only apply to marriage, and we know that many singles are here. A rose is a rose by any other name, and a male is a male, whatever else you call them, and a female is a female, no matter what you call her, that the nature tends to be the same. And he has this respect tank connected by an air hose, and he needs to breathe in that respect like he breathes in air. And when she comes in as a beautiful fawn, with all of her little fawnettes and has a picnic on his air hose, he's not going to go, oh, okay, I'm going to suffocate and die. Just go ahead and kill me. No, no. Get out of here. Everybody get out of here. Get out of here. He's grouching, grumpy, and angry. Get out of here. Interesting. Think about that. Husbands must love their wives. Wives must respect their husbands. Let me illustrate something, though. How does this play itself out? What would be an illustration of a woman feeling unloved? What would be an illustration of a husband feeling disrespected? Well, let's start with a woman. Suppose it's January 15th and she gets on the scales. And she looks down and she's put on 13 pounds. She comes to her husband and says, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. I can't believe all the pounds I put on since all those Thanksgiving meals, all the Christmas parties, all the New Year's celebrations. I can't believe it. I feel fat. I feel ugly. I have nothing to wear. Can't do anything with my hair. He's a sensitive guy. Trained in the 90s. He listens. He goes to the bookstore the next day and he comes in and the lead book right in the bookstore, Dieting for the Christian Woman. Every man makes this mistake once. The subtitle, Post-Holiday Menus. So he gets that book and brings it home. And he gives it to her. He thinks he's at Cape Canaveral. She goes ballistic. She goes right up. And as she's going up, she's screaming at him and pointing a finger. You men have two brains. You men have two brains. One's lost and the other's out looking for it. She calls him a brainless idiot. Now, what's going on? When she sees that diet book, her pink hearing aid's going to dissonance. Her glasses fog over. And she hears a message coming through that diet book from him to her. And that message is this.
I do not accept you. I do not approve of you. I do not love you unless you look like a Dallas Cowboy cheerleader.
That's what she hears. That's what she hears. And she goes ballistic. She begins to feel, you don't love me unless. You'll only love me if. You'll only love me if I perform. That's what she hears. And she reacts negatively. In fact, when she feels unloved, she reacts in very disrespectful ways. In fact, what we're going to see is when he feels disrespected, he reacts in very unloving ways. But what's also interesting is if she brought a diet book home for him, she brings it to him and gives him a diet book.
Hey, thanks. Hey, what's for dinner?
And you see, when he looks at himself in the mirror, he can see Atlas there. He can bring Atlas out any time he wants. May I suggest to you that body image issues are different between men and women? All the research points this out. We all are concerned about how we look, but I'm going to tell you that women are especially sensitive to appearance issues. Very sensitive. And what's even more interesting is if her best girlfriend came over with the diet book. Did you get that diet book? She says to her best girlfriend. Yes. Well, are you going to go on that diet? Do you want to do it together? Should we start Monday? You see, when Pink speaks through Pink megaphone, Pink hearing aids no go into dissonance. But when Blue speak, go through dissonance. And also, though, sometimes, you know, Pink can speak through her Pink megaphones about a diet book, and Blue doesn't go into dissonance. You can't never kind of know when it's going to happen. So when she feels unloved, she reacts, though, in ways that feel very disrespectful to him. Her negative reaction is trying to send him a message. I feel unloved right now. Unfortunately, at a certain point, he no longer hears the deeper cry of her heart. He only hears, I don't respect you, Buster, any further than I can throw you. What are we going to do about that dilemma? Well, let's think of a couple weeks down the road, and she's in that bookstore, and the lead book, The Key to Marital Bliss, Communication. And she picks up that book and starts reading it. She says, this is us. This is us. She buys it. That's the third marriage book this year she's purchased for the two of them to read. She brings it home and she devours it from cover to cover. And she says, he needs to read this. But he's busy. He's busy. He's too busy really to read it from cover to cover. So I'm going to highlight and yell at some of the key sections for him. And then she puts it on a stand next to the chair that he sits in when he watches football. But she notices he doesn't pick it up. Why? Because this is the third marriage book. And that third marriage book, his blue hearing aids start going into dissonance. And he white knuckles it as he watches football. He knows it's there. He knows it's there. But he's thinking, first two marriage books we got huge fights. Huge fights. There's a third one. We're going to get in a huge fight. If I say something, I'm in trouble. If I don't say something, I'm in trouble. But if I don't say anything, I'm in less trouble. So he stonewalls. He neglects it. Why? In his world as a male, he hears a message coming from her through the marriage book to him, which is this. I don't accept you. I don't approve of you. I don't respect you, Buster, unless you change right now. That's what he hears. Now, I'm not justifying that. He can be completely wrong. Hey, I'm not justifying the wife when she goes ballistic when he's trying to be helpful and gives her a diet book. He may not even be coming close to saying, I don't love you, unless... And she may not even be coming close saying, I don't respect you unless. But what I am going to say is there's a tendency within the nature of the female to interpret diet books through Pink. She videotapes her world through Pink. And she sees Pink and she sees things that threaten Pink. I'm not saying he's justified for feeling that way about the marriage book. But what I'm going to say, he's a male created by God. Not wrong, just different. And he interprets marriage books through a different grid. He doesn't see this as increasing love. He sees it as another situation that's going to result in him losing respect. And what's interesting is if he brought home a marriage book to her, she would go, did you buy that marriage book for us? Do you want to read it? I mean, do you want to start tonight and just kind of go through it, the two of us, reading out loud to one another? And then she's going to be on the phone to all of her girlfriends, telling them that he brought home a marriage book. He got a marriage book. We're one. We're connected. We're soulmates. Why doesn't she get all bent out of shape? Because she filters a marriage book through a different color, through a different nature, called female. Why does he get all bent out of shape about the marriage book? And why not about the diet book? Because he's made male. Not wrong, just different. Fascinating. Powerful. But what's interesting is when he shuts down on that marriage book, when he refuses to read it, that stone...
Pretty powerfully. Like, and that's just the first little, you know, like little bit of it, and just the beginning. And I just feel that was actually Frank and I should have went out and bought pink sunglasses and blue sunglasses. We should have been up here with those. I thought of it when we were just watching that. I said, darn, I missed that. So, but that was fun. But it's powerful.
I like how he throws that balance in between male and female and gives you a good insight. And he does it in a pretty good way. So there's lots. The whole segment goes like that as we're presenting different the love and respect sessions. All right, so we'll just leave it at that. No, you're not done. Whoa.
It's not wrong. It's just different. Yes, honey. Okay. I just wanted to throw this in that I like what the sure. Thanks. I like what they when he said that, you know, we can realize our spouse doesn't intend evil, because sometimes we get to the point where we just feel that it's evil. And so but when you're reacting negatively because she feels unloved and he feels disrespected. And so when anybody could probably look back on their own spats and disagreements and realize that, deciphered differently. That's all, you know, we see things totally differently. So, but there's always room for improvement. That's the exciting thing. And so that we don't give up, we keep on going, and we realize that this is, you know, God wants, he definitely wants us to get married. He definitely wants us to have a happy life. Happy wife, happy life. But it goes for the man also, you know. I don't know what rhymes with that. But anyway, and I love the way he does the pink and the blue illustrations. And we need to pray about that, you know. You pray together. That was something that I had problems with, was I could pray but not together out loud. Like, out loud? Are you kidding me? But we do. We pray together. And there's one thing that we do at supper time is we have a devotional. This is a couple's devotional Bible that we use. We're using another one now, but we use this, and we find that every night there's different marriage sessions in there, and we will read that, and then there's a couple of questions afterwards, and it just gives us a little bit of where we discuss things, and it helps. It definitely helps. So yes, one thing I did want to mention, and Frank did mention it already about the singles in September. We've done the couples now, a couple of sessions, and I really feel that in September we'd like to do the just for the singles. Just for the singles, the young people, the young adults, people that are getting ready to get married, because it's important to, it just prepares you. This is not just for marriages. It's also for even our relationships that we have with our friends. You've got, you know, guys that hang out with the girls and things, but it helps. It helps to show them and give them the respect that they need, the men, the young guys, and the girls, you know. So I don't want you guys all loving on all these girls, but anyways. But the thing is that it just helps to prepare you for the future and prepare you for people that everywhere you go, your jobs, whatever. But I hope that has helped you. As I say, if you are interested in doing this, then please let us know. We'll have a sign-up sheet, and any questions, just come and ask us. So, anyways, I hope. No, you go ahead. You read it. Okay. Go ahead.
We welcome all singles to the Love and Respect group. We believe this message is irrelevant to singles as to those who are married. The principles learned in this study will help you understand gender differences and how to apply the insight to all your relationships. For those of you who eventually marry, the love and respect principles apply to your life now and will powerfully influence your process of choosing a future spouse, potentially saving you from years of unnecessary heartache.
Yes. So it's very, very important. So did we do okay for time-wise? Good. Okay. All right. So thank you very much, and thanks for listening. And
I think one of the things that Marlene or Frank, I don't remember which one, said it right out front was, it's good to read things, but you need to hear them too. Right. So what you need to do is not only just sit here this morning, but hear what was said, because it's really important. So marriage, like I'm just going to 2 minutes here. One of the things. Oh, OK. They're doing coffee today. So. All right. So make sure you say thanks. Let's give them a hand. Marriage is such an important part of our walk with God. And if that scripture that they read in Ephesians, it starts out talking about how husband and wife, let me just read it for you. Men ought to love their wives just as they love their own bodies. This is found in Ephesians 5:28 and on. A man who loves his wife loves himself. None of us ever hate our own bodies. Instead, we feed and take care of them just as Christ does the church, for we are members of his body. As the scripture says, for this reason, a man leaves father and mother and will unite with his wife, and the two will become one. This is a deep secret, truth revealed in the scripture, which I understand as applying to Christ and the church. But it also applies to you. Every husband must love his wife as himself, even, and every wife must respect her husband. So marriage is a really powerful symbol and probably like the most powerful portrayal of Christ in the church. So as we live life in marriage, as we value marriage, as we do our best in marriage, it really is a portrayal of what Jesus did for the church. It's really important. So one of the things I just want to close with is this, because I do this every time we do a marriage, like whenever I do pre-marriage counseling with the young ones getting married, or even some of the old ones. I just married Doug and Wendy a couple years ago. And so, like, is this. Marriage is not just a contract. It is not a contract. Marriage is a covenant. Marriage is a covenant. The difference between a covenant and a contract is this. And this is important to remember, because sometimes you hear these kind of things, and you think, well, our marriage is too far gone, or we just can't fix this, or I don't know what to do. But this is why it's really important for us to know. Marriage is a covenant. So I have a spot here. Just my notes are all over the place. So a covenant, the difference between a marriage, a contract, and a covenant is, number one, a contract protects rights. A covenant assumes responsibility. A contract limits responsibility, and a covenant assumes that all the pressure, all the stuff. The thing about marriage and as a Christian is we die to ourselves. We have to be willing to give up our own rights, our own way, our own heart, our own desires, and live with someone else's in mind. So when we think about marriage, when we're thinking about this even today, I just would challenge you as couples, if you're here today, you're married, if you walk away from this today, talk to each other about this concept of love and respect. If you feel unloved as a wife, there's nothing wrong with saying to your husband in a kind and nice way, remember what we heard this morning? Well, I'm feeling a little bit unloved. And do it with a heart for having a better thing. Right? And if you're here today as a husband and your wife's treating you with disrespect, then just stop and say, remember what we heard this morning? I just feel a little bit disrespected. And then as a couple, don't blow that off. Don't just throw it off to the side. Don't just say, well, whatever. You just heard that this morning, so whatever, blah, blah, blah. Instead, take it to heart. Try and change that. Try and live differently as a couple. Lord, we thank you today, Lord, just for your heart for marriage. Lord, I thank you that, Lord, you have, Lord, our best interest in mind in marriage. One of the things you gave us marriage for is just to, Lord, to have iron sharpen iron, Lord, so that we could become better us to serve you better. So I just pray today, Lord, as the couples that are here, for the ones that are struggling, Lord, I just pray that you just reveal truth to them. Lord, that you would just bless them as they, Lord, work at improving marriage. For the ones that have a great marriage, I pray they would get better. For the ones here that are looking forward to getting married, we have a few of those. Lord, we just pray that you would just, Lord, bless them in their marriage. Lord, they would just make good choices. Lord, I pray this in the name of Jesus and for his glory. Amen.